We'll be reading three passages, Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35, and 69 to 75, and then John 21, verse 15 to 17. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Chapter 26, verse 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway off where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your account gives you away, or your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now, John 21, verse 15 to 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
Cool, cool. Well, hey, friendships matter, don't they? You know, we live in a world at the moment where it's really everybody for themselves. You know, others don't really care about you. They just sort of care about what you can do for them. You know, we live in a world where it is just so easy to feel lost, to feel alone, to feel unloved. But friendships matter because they're your friend. A friend is somebody that we can rely on. A friend is somebody who can celebrate with us in the good times. More importantly, somebody that we can lean on in the hard times. You know, good friendships, they mean that we can find our way through life together, loved, supported. You know, I've got my hobbies. I love camping, four-wheel driving, outdoors and everything, and they're great. But what makes them so good is that they're things I get to do with my friends, my boys. And so nothing really hurts more, does it, than when our friends become the cause of our pain. When those who are supposed to be the ones that love and care for us, they're the ones who reject us. They're the ones who abandon us or betray us. Okay, this is the passage that we come to this morning. Peter rejecting, denying, abandoning Jesus, one of his closest friends. Now, let me just say, if you're unfamiliar with the gospel accounts, you know, this might be the first time you've heard of Peter the disciple. But as I said, this is really one of his most well-known and most criticized moments. How did Peter, the leader of Jesus' disciples, find himself in this situation? I mean, surely we never would. So this morning I want to consider Peter as a bit of a case study, an example of what it looks like to wander away from Christ. And I'd like to consider three points with that this morning. Firstly, that we are blind to our need for Jesus. Secondly, the baby steps or walking away from Jesus. And finally, running back to Jesus. But if you'll come with me in your Bibles, we'll start back at Matthew chapter 26 from verse 31. Let's start by looking at how we are blind to our need for Jesus. Please come with me back to the Bible again. From verse 31 it says, "Then Jesus told them," that is his disciples, "this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Tell you what, this is Peter's start. And let's just say, it's not great. I mean, as Jesus, the Son of God, gives prophecy and warning, Peter here decides that he knows better. Or maybe consider it this way, you know, like one of the great things about the internet is that it makes me an expert on anything. You've just studied your business degree. Well, I did a bit of Googling on running a business, so actually I'm pretty sure I know better than you. I don't really care that you have 30 years of experience as a doctor because I put the symptoms into WebMD and you're wrong. You know, whatever your job, your research area of expertise, I Googled it, I know better than you now. It's a pretty arrogant attitude, isn't it? Hey, as we've gone through the gospel, we've seen that Peter, he's been following Jesus for a long time. He's seen Jesus prophesy. It's always been correct. He's seen Jesus work miracles, showcase his power. Peter knows and admits that Jesus is the Son of God, the King over everything. He has all power, all might, and all of the knowledge given to him by God the Father. But when Jesus says that by the end of the night, everyone will abandon him, what's Peter's response? No way. It couldn't be me. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I know better than you. You know, this warning, it was initially given to all of Jesus' disciples. But on hearing Peter's response here, Jesus singles him out. He goes, "You, yes, you, Peter, tonight in just a matter of hours, you are going to reject and deny me three times." And you'd think, wouldn't you, that this would be a moment for Peter to just sort of take a step back. You know, it's a very personal, it's a very direct warning from Jesus. But, you know, Peter, he's confident in his own strength. You know, he's done his Googling and so now he's an expert. "Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never disown you." Here we see Peter, he's completely blind to his need for Jesus. I mean, this warning is given directly to him, but Peter has full confidence in his own strength, in his own abilities. He sees no reason to listen to Jesus. He sees no need to ask Jesus for his help. When it comes to standing strong, Peter doesn't need Jesus. He's got this all on his own. But what about us? Now, when we read God's word, the Bible, as we see warning after warning, do we take them seriously? As God speaks directly to us through his word into our hearts and to our lives, do we heed the warnings that he gives? Or like Peter, do we know better than God? You know, I know I'm a good person, and so if there's a heaven and a hell, I'll figure it out. I don't need Jesus at all. Now, when it comes to your job or to your study, you're really good at your chosen field, you're self-made. So you don't really need Jesus in that area of your life. You've read all the books on parenting, so Jesus doesn't need to factor in there. And maybe you've studied all sorts of theology. You know, other Christians, they might struggle with understanding things, but you're all good, you've studied it. So actually, you don't need Jesus even to interpret the Bible. Well, hey, let me encourage you this morning. Open your Bible. Read through it and don't be blind to your need for Jesus. See, all the warnings that are given there in the Word, they're not for everybody else. They are given directly to me. They are given directly to you. Don't let your pride, don't let your so-called expertise tell you that you can ignore any of it. See, Peter, he was blind to his need for Jesus. And it took him to his most painful, to his most shameful moment. See, the areas where we think we don't need Jesus.
Excuse me.
So the areas where we think we don't need Jesus. This is where we need him most. See, our own strength is not, and it will not be enough. Without Jesus, we are headed for pain and shame as our weaknesses are exposed. That's our blindness to Jesus. And hey, I just want to note, you'll have noticed when we read our passage this morning, we skipped over a whole big chunk of Matthew 26. So just to fill you in a little bit, in that area we missed, we see that Jesus, he's there with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He gets arrested. His disciples, they get scared and run, just like Jesus had prophesied. You know, in the middle of the night, this mob of soldiers, they come and they drag Jesus to the high priest's house to stand trial. And we are going to be looking at all of those events in church next week, so please come back for that. But actually, even in this chunk we missed, we see Peter as well. And after he initially runs, he turns back. You know, he at a distance, he sneaks along, he follows Jesus. You know, Jesus is his friend after all. He wants to see what happens at the trial. He wants to know what's going to happen with him. So as the soldiers drag Jesus to this house to stand trial, Peter, he follows at a distance. He sort of sneaks into the courtyard out the back. Jesus is inside. Peter, he's outside, waiting, wondering, unable to see Jesus. He's just sitting, waiting to find out some information. You know, that's where we pick up in verse 69. And that's where I want to head this morning as we consider our second point, walking away from Jesus. Just want to start with a bit of an illustration. You know, it's from when I was a kid. I grew up in Vanuatu, and we had a small wharf down at the beach there. And given that it was empty 90% of the time, it was a great spot to go and have a swim. You know, we'd jump into the water. I don't know if you can see, but there were sort of levels to the wharf. You can't see it, it's sort of around behind the side, but there was a little set of steps that went down that had a platform sort of right on the water level. So it was a nice, easy jump, you know, very safe, nothing to go wrong. If you wanted a bit more excitement, you just sort of jump off the main level there. That was probably the prime jumping spot. It was pretty good. But hey, if you were feeling, you know, really excited, you could climb up one of those crumbling pylons and jump off there as well. It was the maximum distance. It was the maximum amount of fun. Now, as a kid, me being me, I always wanted to jump off the pylons. But I was also scared. You know, see, every time we went, I wanted to jump off the pylons, but it was a big jump. So every time, I'd just do a few little test jumps first off the lower levels, you know. Work my way up to it. The big jump was scary. I wasn't able to take such a huge leap all in one go. I had to work my way up. You know, that's what we have here from Peter this morning as well. You know, he's not just sitting there in the courtyard, gets bored while he's waiting for the trial to happen and goes, you know what would be fun? I'm just going to start denying Jesus. No, we see in this passage a slow progression, multiple steps that all build on each other. Now come with me back to verse 69 and 70 again. It says this, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. 'But he denied it before them all.' 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said." You know, Peter, he's sitting there by the fire, trying to blend in, trying not to draw any attention to himself. And for the most part, it is working. You know, he's faced down a bunch of soldiers when they came to arrest Jesus, but now he's staying safely away. The danger is over. His guard is down. All that's left to do is wait with everybody else. But then this servant girl comes up and she's like, "You were hanging out with Jesus, weren't you? You're from Galilee, right?" And now Peter, he doesn't want to deny Jesus in this moment, but to say that he knows him, well, that could get a little bit uncomfortable for him. So he takes his first baby step. He jumps off of that smallest ledge. He's like, "Ooh, sorry, I'm not really sure what you're talking about. Sorry." And see, to Peter's mind here, he hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't actively denied Jesus. He's just dodged the question. And hey, he's got good reason, doesn't he? I mean, after all, if he owns up to following Jesus, it could get quite uncomfortable. The servant girl, she'll probably spread this rumor. Tongues will start wagging. The soldiers, they're all sort of watching the trial at the moment, but what if one decides to come and question him for it? And he doesn't outright deny. But for the sake of his own comfort, he seeks to disassociate himself from Jesus. And of course, that means when he's asked the question for the second time, actually denying Jesus, it's much easier for him. See it there in verse 71 and 72. It says, "Then he went to the gateway. Another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath. 'I don't know the man.'" Now, do you see the progression there? The bigger jump, the extra step. "I don't know what you're talking about. That hasn't worked." More people are calling him out. His discomfort, it's rapidly growing. So he progresses from a passive denial to an active one. "I don't know the man." Finally, we look at the third time he denies. In verse 73, "After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, 'I don't know the man.'" Calling down curses, swearing to them that he doesn't know Jesus. Now, it all started just a short while ago. "I'm not sure what you're talking about." See, Peter's denial of Jesus here, it wasn't a spur of the moment decision to reject him. It's a series of steps, each building on the other, each prioritizing his own comfort and wants over being associated with Christ. How far Peter has fallen from pledging his loyalty, a willingness to die with Jesus, and yet hours later he's rejecting, cursing, and swearing that he doesn't know Jesus, his dearest friend. What seemed impossible earlier in the night became a reality as step by step, Peter walks away from Christ. Peter walks away from his King. And hey, if you're a Christian here this morning, I feel fairly confident in saying that you don't have any plans to walk out of here and go start denying Christ. But have you distanced yourself from Jesus so that you can relate a bit more with your co-workers? Have you taken steps away from Christ just so that you can get a bit closer to your friends? Are you walking towards comfort instead of Jesus? You know, it's so easy for us to look at Peter, isn't it? To marvel at how far he could fall, to mourn the way that he could turn his back on Christ. But what about you? What about me? Are you clinging to your Savior? Or is your back turned as you walk away? You know, come with me back to chapter 26 and verse 74. The second half there, it says that immediately a rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Yeah. As the rooster crows, Peter, he feels the true weight of what he has just done. Turning his back on Jesus, not just in the moment, but in many progressive steps. It is a cause for weeping. Hours ago, he was boldly proclaiming his loyalty, his willingness to die. Now he floats in the water, unable to believe that he has just made the jump off that massive pylon. The realization, the shame, the regret. He breaks down and weeps. And as we travel through this case study this morning, looking at Peter, Jesus, and even ourselves, I would say it's also worth noting that there is more that happens in Peter's relationship with Christ. So I want to move on to our third point for this morning, which is running back to Jesus. Hey, if you're unfamiliar, I just want to say that after Jesus' death and resurrection, which is detailed in Matthew chapter 27 and 28, Jesus, he appears to his disciples, and we saw in the passage that Alicia read for us earlier from John, we saw Peter's repentance and restoration as he ran back to his God. So please, if you've got your Bibles there with you still, I invite you to turn back with me to John chapter 21. We'll just read from verse 15 again. It says this: when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You know, for us, forgiveness is hard, isn't it? Especially when we've been hurt by someone that we love, someone that we trust. Jesus, he'd been firstly betrayed by Judas, then he was deserted by all his disciples, and then at his lowest moment, he was stabbed in the back by Peter. Yet as Peter repents of his sin, as he seeks forgiveness from Christ, as he turns back towards him, forgiveness is exactly what he gets. Now repentance, it is hard, right? It requires an active acknowledgement of our sin, an active seeking of forgiveness, and an active path away from our sin. You know, three times Peter denied Jesus, and it's no coincidence that three times Jesus asks the question, "Peter, do you love me?" Now we see how painful that is for Peter. Each time Jesus asks the question, it brings him back, recalling his sin, recalling his shame. You can imagine him there, struggling to meet Jesus' gaze. The reminder of his betrayal, it's just being laid out bare right in front of him. You know, Peter, the disciple who loved to make big, bold statements, he's now humbling himself as he seeks Jesus' forgiveness. Peter, who once said, "I know better than you, Jesus," he's now responding with, "Lord, you know all things." See, Peter, he's made a shift in his relationship with Christ. He's relying on Jesus' strength and no longer his own. And see the difference that it makes. You know, in his own strength, Peter abandoned Christ in just one night. In Jesus' strength, Peter, he's charged to feed, charged to tend to, charged to care for Jesus, for God's sheep. You know, he becomes the leader of the New Testament church, shepherding God's people, pointing them to Christ. He is restored in his relationship with Jesus. He clings to him, relying on a God who loves him, who cares for him, who died for him. Peter, the disciple who betrayed his dearest friend, who openly and publicly denied his king, as he repents of his sin, is able to be restored to full relationship with Jesus. What about us? What about you? Are you currently walking away from Jesus? Have you never yet known relationship with Christ? Are you sitting there this morning worried that you're too far gone? You see Peter's restoration here. We see that restoration for ourselves. Repent. Turn from your sin. Run to Jesus. Live in his strength, in his goodness, in his love for you. Hey, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to this earth. We thank you so much for the relationship that we can have with you through him as our King. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for the times that we turn from you, for the times that we walk away from you, reject you, seek to do things in our own strength. Lord, instead, I pray that you would help us to repent of our sin, to realize how far gone we are from you, to turn back to you, to run to you, to cling to you, that as we go through our life, you would help us to do all things through the strength of your Son, Christ. We pray all these things in his precious name. Amen.